Acts chapter 2, and we're going to break into the middle of Peter's sermon. We're just going to read a little bit to get a context for what we're studying tonight. But Acts chapter 2, verse 32, right in the middle of Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. "This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles' brothers, 'What shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' With many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." The topic tonight in this little series of kind of why we do things the way we do at Emmanuel Baptist Church is on membership. And it's one that I've been hesitating to speak on because I don't want to put people off, and I don't want to unduly coax them into membership. And at the same time, it is important for us to realize why we do what we do. Membership is the great unspoken church duty. It's the one aspect of church life that we are quite happy to give the long arm to. We'll do it when we are settled. It's sometimes considered the chore of our Christian life. We know we should be part of a church, and it's something we begrudgingly do because we feel we had better. Yet, in the New Testament, when you read especially the book of Acts, but also the New Testament letters, and you start to look at how Paul speaks about belonging in the church, we start to see that God has actually given us no greater help, no greater resource, no greater thing that he uses to help us in this life than church membership. When we look at the New Testament and we look at how those who were saved immediately were baptized and immediately became numbered among the church, we realize there was no delay then, and there should be no delay now. Whenever we consider as well that the membership of the church, being part of the church body, is actually the stimulus that is used by God to help us to fight sin, to help us to reach the world, to help us to actually grow and become like Christ, we start to realize just how important it is. In Northern Ireland, most Christians in our church culture seem to like to put off this grace gift that God has given to us. I remember one time there was a friend who was actually, I shouldn't even say part of whenever we're talking about membership. He attended Gortmurrin Baptist. And I remember him going on a gap year to New Zealand. And it was something that he read. I can't remember what it was he read on the plane on the way to New Zealand for this gap year. But he became really convicted that every Christian should be part of a particular body so that they could be known, they can be cared for, they can be prodded and helped. That when he went on that gap year, he actually there, when he was only going to be there for about 8 months, became part of his first church for the 8 months that he was there. And then when he came back to Gortmurrin, he became a member again of that church. I remember whenever that happened, at first when I heard the story, I thought, really? You know, you would become a member of a church for 8 months. And then whenever I started to think back to what the Bible says, and especially think about what the New Testament says about membership, I actually realized that what he had done, and especially when he came back to become part of that new local church in the area where he was now living, was actually an extremely biblical principle. Never in the New Testament do you find a Christian who is a Christian for any length of time who doesn't become part of a local body of believers in the place where he's living. You do find members moving from church to church. Over time, maybe they get a job in Rome or they move and relocate there. They would move and they would become part of that new body of believers in Rome. But they were always seeking to be part and known by a particular local body of believers. Well, at Emmanuel Baptist Church, we also care about membership. We feel it's an important thing, indeed important enough for us to spend the evening thinking about why we do what we do when it comes to membership. And I have two big points. They're very, very simple. And the first big point, overarching point, is why should you join a church? Not particularly Emmanuel, but why should you join a local church? And the first reason I have for you to answer that question, why you should join a local church, is that membership of a local body is a biblical thing. Is a biblical thing. Sometimes people, when they think about membership, or they talk about membership, they try to put it off, and in fact they bristle at it in our society. Some people say the biblical church is not an organization, but it's an organism. The only problem with that statement is that it's not true. It's not true. Because the New Testament is full of instruction and examples of local churches where there's local structure and local organized gatherings. Because the Bible maybe doesn't have a clear command, thou must join a local church. Some people think that what we're talking about when we talk about membership is something extra-biblical. They think that it's something that's been devised by the church as a means of convenience, rather than actually being something that's born out of the testimony of Scripture. And I want you to realize that actually, membership itself, the reason we do membership at Emmanuel Baptist Church, first and foremost, is because we believe it's a biblical concept. We believe it's something that we see in the Bible, and we try and emulate that. When skeptics look at the idea of church in the Bible, they conclude that it's always referring to the general universal Christian movement. That to be a Christian, to be a member of Christendom, generally, they think is good enough. That's what the church is. And the problem with that is that though the Bible does talk about the global and the universal church, it also talks about the local church body. And what they fail to do is to distinguish in the Bible where it talks about a local church, the church in Corinth, the church in Ephesus, the church in Philippi, and where it talks more about the global church, Christendom at large. Let me show you some examples where these two things are seen to be different from one another. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. This is a little bit of a different study than normal, and so we'll be turning to a few different passages to try and help you see where our practice in our church is born out of the bigger council of Scripture. Jesus himself, he mentions church twice in Scripture, twice in the Gospels. And the first reference that Jesus makes to the church comes in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. It's one that will be familiar to you. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Here is a reference that Jesus makes to church, and this reference to the church is speaking very clearly about the global church. Congregations will come and go in particular areas, but the overall work of the global church, we're told in this verse, will never be knocked back, will continue to advance. It is a global movement that is clearly being referred to here. Here we have an example in the words of Jesus himself, where he uses the word church to speak about the universal church, the global church, to speak about Christendom generally. But he also speaks about a local church two chapters later. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18 to see the other time that Jesus speaks about church. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll read verses 15 to 17. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Here we have a very different situation. Instead of the global church, we're talking about church discipline. And we're talking about it in a local context. This is a local problem, a local dispute between two believers, a local disagreement. And here we're told that when that disagreement, locally, between a couple of individuals, when that escalates, when they've tried to deal with it one-to-one and it hasn't worked, and they try and deal with it with a couple of other people with them and it hasn't worked, they're to go to the church and tell the church. Now, that's not to tell the global church. It's not to put it on Facebook that the Christians in Africa would know of your grievances with every individual Christian. Rather, when the problem escalates that far, the picture here is to go to a local, known, identified body. Only then can the church be informed. And only then can the individual be put out. You can't be put out of some general big concept. Here, the individual is put out of a clearly defined group. Here the church, as Jesus speaks about it, is clearly a local entity, because only in a local entity can discipline take place, can an individual be talked about amongst the group and prayed for by the group. And only in the group can they be put out of. Only then can they be put in or put out. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 to see another example of this. Again, an example that's born out of discipline that helps us to recognize that there is a local church. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll read just the first two verses of chapter 5. Here Paul is talking about a particular situation in the church, a grievous situation in the church, and he wants the church to take action, the local church in Corinth. In chapter 5, verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans, for a man has his father's wife. And you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. Let him be removed from among you. Paul is writing to a local church in a particular town in Corinth, and Paul talks to them, and clearly he is telling them to do something as a local fellowship, a local congregation. He's telling them that there is an individual there who is currently in the church that needs to be put out of the church. Now, he's not leaving Corinth. He's not leaving the global Christendom, but he is leaving that local congregation that is meeting in a particular house. And they're told to put him out. In other words, in Corinth, there was a defined membership. People knew if they were in, and people knew if they were out. Otherwise, what Paul is talking about here wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. You can't be put out of something that remains undefined. Not only do we see it with discipline, but we actually see it with the more positive, because I don't want you to think that all I do is read the most depressing parts of Scripture. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, about the same brother, as he's put out, he gets convicted that what he has done is wrong, and he puts to death that sinful situation, and he repents of his sin. And Paul tells us, "For if I cause you pain, Who is there to make me glad but the one to whom I appealed? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain from those who should have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart, and with many tears, not to cause you pain, but that you may know the abundant love I have for you." And he says in verse 5, to the church he loves, a known church in Corinth that has had problems. "Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him," to bring him back. This man who has been put on the outside, who has gone through this period of repentance, "I want you now as a local congregation to reaffirm your love for him." And he's been put out, he's repented, and now that he has repented, Paul urges him now, because there's a hesitation in the church. They're still keeping him at arm's length. Now Paul says, now, because you see repentance, bring him back in. Embrace him once again. Restoration here is also something that indicates that there is local churches functioning. A person is put out of a local church. A person is brought back in and reaffirmed and loved once more in a local church context. And then we read earlier from Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the last passage that we looked at, Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and we read there, a clear pattern is laid out. Those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. A number is known, individuals are identified, and they are added to this local gathering that resides in Jerusalem at this point. Why should you join a local church? Because it's a biblical concept. It's a biblical concept. It's not being made up. It's here in the Bible, assumed and done the whole way through Scripture. The second thing we reason why you should join a local church is that it is corporate. It is corporate. And let me explain what I mean by that. We live in a society that is egotistical. And it encourages us to always think about ourselves. It's always about me, and it's always about I. But when you're a Christian, that's not meant to be us. We're not meant to be individuals. We're meant to be people who now think in the corporate. But in truth, what has happened in our culture is there has been a spillover from that egotistical, secular mindset into our Christian mindset. So that now, as Christians, we're always, it seems, talking about my relationship with God. Now, you have a relationship with God, but we become obsessed with the my relationship with God. We become obsessed with my personal quiet time as my means of growing in grace. We become obsessed with my prayers that have been answered. And it's not a bad thing to pray. It's not a bad thing to have a quiet time. It's not a bad thing to appreciate the fact you have a relationship with God. In fact, all of those things are wonderful. But what happens because of the mindset that we seem to have adopted is we lose sight of the body. We've lost sight, it seems, of the corporate. Because when the New Testament talks about Christians, it talks about us in collective groups. In Corinthians, there's that wonderful picture in 1 Corinthians 12 of the body. That we are meant to think of ourselves not as individuals, but as members of one body, as members of one bride, as one collective entity. 1 John calls us to love the brethren. Our focus is meant to be not on loving ourselves, but on loving the brethren, on loving one another. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12 tells us where we have spiritual gifts, but they are given to build up, not me, build up the church. The focus is not individual, the focus is corporate in Scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And verse 19. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. I want to read to you this paragraph. And as I read it to you, I want to you to notice how many times Paul uses an encompassing term. We, or you collectively are. Us. He talks about them as a collective group. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you see what Paul is talking about here? He's talking about the corporate. In fact, he's talking about the gospel that saved you. And even as he talks about the gospel that saved you, individual, he talks about it in corporate terms. You all were sinners. You all needed mercy. You all have experienced grace. You all have been saved by the same Lord Jesus Christ. You all have been made co-heirs with Christ. You all are in a journey of needing to grow up and to become like him. You all have sin to slay. You all need to spur one another on to love and good deeds. You all need to keep meeting together to make sure that that takes place. But Paul, even as he talks about your personal conversion, he wants us to see that as Christians, we are meant to think about it as a corporate thing. There's something that we have shared in. There's something that we is together in the very gospel that we believe. We are designed as Christians to be with and to need one another. You need one another to identify sin in your heart. You need other people to help you with that. You need one another to teach you things about God, to help you in this life. You need one another to spur you on. You need one another to help give comfort when you're feeling low. You need one another to worship God in the fullest way this side of eternity. Victor Hugo said, "No man is an island." Well, no Christian was ever intended by God to be an island. Your spiritual health demands a corporate identity and corporate involvement. No more individual Christianity. Church membership opens the door. It doesn't make it happen. We have to actively pursue this living together. But it opens the door for this community living. So why should you join a church? Because it's biblical. Because it's corporate. And then thirdly, because it's evangelistic. It's evangelistic. Most think about the gospel as something we do outside of church. We go to our camp. We go to our a good news club. We share with the person at work. It's something we do outside of the church. But actually, the Bible also helps us to see that it is something as well that we do together, something that we share in. It's our being part of the church is actually a gospel track that we live before the world. What is the gospel? No, you are a sinful individual living for yourself, self-obsessed, seeking to please only you. But you have been saved by grace and pulled into this corporate body, the bride of Christ. You once were self-obsessed. Now you have been pulled into a corporate body that is Christ-obsessed, living together now with others who love the same Savior. If you want to live out the gospel, if you want help dying to yourself, then you need to join a corporate body. Another, as a way of reaching and speaking to the world. Now, it can be hard to be part of a corporate body. It can be hard to sacrifice your preferences. It can be hard to experience the heartache of sometimes living so closely with others. It can be hard to have to, as the Bible says, strive to love one another. It's not always a natural thing to live as members in a church. In fact, it's an unnatural thing. You know, where in the world do you find people deliberately trying to live life together? Nowhere else in the world do you find people insisting, when they're healthy, on doing things and being actively involved in each other's life. Nowhere else in the world would you dare go up to someone and talk about the sins that they're struggling with. This is something unnatural, this family-like life with strangers. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 13, verse 35. This is a good verse for church membership. John chapter 13, verse 35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. The greatest gospel track we have to the world, according to Jesus, is the very love that we express to one another in the church. If you want to be an effective evangelist, you need to be actively showing love in the fellowship of the local church where God has placed you. If you want to people to know what the love of Jesus looks like, that he will love even the worst of sinners, well, it begins by you showing love to people that you're at odds with in the church. It begins by being loving towards people that your personality just doesn't naturally mesh with. It's the greatest gospel track we have before the world. Oh, that all of Lisburn would look at Emmanuel Baptist Church and say, I don't know all that they talk about there, but there is a profound love that they have for one another. One of the saddest, and yet as a pastor, best moments in church life is when we have a funeral. Sad because we hate to see any of our friends leave us. And yet it's a wonderful thing at our church to see everybody else rally around and care and support and insist on showing love to one another. Why is that such a wonderful thing? Because it's the greatest gospel track we have before the world. It's what God has pulled us to do. It's what he has saved us to live. You should join a church because it's biblical, because it's corporate, because it's evangelistic, and then fourthly, because it's safe. It's much safer than not being part of a church. Being part of a local body of believers helps to keep you safe from false teaching. There's so much falsehood in our world. The prosperity gospel that masks the true nature and heart of the true gospel. A charismania that fosters a discontent about how God could help you and grow you and use you in this world. Legalism that develops hard-hearted ugliness in individuals. The local church is meant to be a place that protects us from these false teachings. The local church allows us to collectively work alongside one another to be more discerning. Some of us have a tendency towards charismania, and some of us have a tendency towards legalism, and some of us have a tendency towards the prosperity gospel. We have the things that we would be more susceptible to, but when we come together, we keep an eye on one another. And we help to protect one another from these extremes that could threaten the very message that binds us. That's why leaders in the church, they work hard to seek to guard and protect the flock, to protect you from these outside corrupting influences. So it's safer because it protects us from false teachers, but it also is safer because it protects you from yourself. Being part of a local church protects you from yourself. Membership is a place where iron is said to sharpen iron, where you enjoy other Christian influences, the influences of men and women who are more mature and further on in the faith than you are. It's a place where you are prayed for by these other individuals. And then that in itself makes it a safer environment to be part of. But also, when you become a member in a church, you don't join the church, though we often use that language. You don't join the church. You actually submit to the oversight of a church as you become a member. That's what membership is. It's not joining this club. It's a submission to leadership in a local body. And what that does is it opens up the doors for other people to speak into your life. When sin would begin to grow in your life, it requests that other people would confront that sin. We read about the man in the Corinth church that had to be disciplined out. Later, thankfully, in repentance, was brought back in. But becoming part of a membership, submitting to the leadership, allows them to come to you and to try and help you to see your sin. And if you would persist, to take the most extreme action that they would ever take and to put you out of the fellowship, only so that you would realize just what a dangerous thing you're playing with. You're playing with fire. And to prayerfully put you out, praying that like that man in Corinth, you would repent. And then they would embrace you warmly back in. A hope of restoration. Individuals are drawn and prone to sin. Individual people who are Christians but not members of a church, when they sin and they fester on certain things and they dwell on certain things, as a pastor, you're so limited in how you can actually speak to them and what you can do with them and how you can get through to them. But when a person becomes a member and they submit to being here and under the leadership of the church, when you see them starting to explore sin, when you see them chasing the world, you chase after them, to beg and plead with them to come back to the Christ who they first loved, to realize that what they are doing is indeed a dangerous thing. And so it is safer to be a member of a local church to help protect you from yourself. This idea of submission to leadership is something that often terrifies us. We don't like the idea of submitting to anyone. Submitting to leadership in the church, allowing them access into the personal areas of your life, allowing them to come and speak to you about the things that are really going on, is often an off-putting thing for individuals, but it's a terrifying thing. Let me say this very clearly. It's a terrifying thing for pastors and for elders. Turn in your Bible, please, to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. When you would want to join a church and submit to the leadership that is there, I want you to see that it's something that you take seriously, I hope, as you do it. But it's something that is very weighty for the leadership that you submit to. James chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. In other words, there is a sense that when you submit to leadership in the church, when you become a member and join this body, every individual that joins the body in Emmanuel Baptist Church, it's like one more weight is placed on the leadership's shoulder. And they have one more person that they fervently have to pray for and want to pray for. And you have one more person that they need to seek to get to know and to get to know earnestly and deeply. They have one more person that they have to plead with that they will honor and love the Lord. They have one more person that they want to see utilized in the fullest way possible in the heart of the church. Because one day, we will stand before Christ and we will give an account for every member who submitted themselves to the leadership in this church. And we want to be able to say to Christ that we did all that we could to help them to grow to be like Him. What a scary calling for elders that they do take seriously. Why should you join a local church? Because it's biblical, because it's corporate, because it's evangelistic, because it's safer. Fifthly, because it glorifies God, and I'll not labor this point, it glorifies God. Obedient Christian living, using His resources that He's given us in the local church, being subject to one another, dying to self, all of that is activity that glorifies God. It pleases Him. We already read John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, that God wants us to be marked by a deep love for one another. Our love for one another is what marks us out as Christians and causes us to reflect His love in this world. Joining and loving the flock in a local place is one way of glorifying God. Why should you be a member of a local church? Because it's biblical, because it's corporate, because it's evangelistic, because it's safer, and because it glorifies God. So then secondly, and this is the quick point, who can join this particular local church? Well, in Emmanuel Baptist Church, we look for three requirements. We require an individual who wants to join to be saved. We believe in a saved membership where everyone has accepted the gospel personally and asked God to forgive them, repented of their sins, and believes in the perfect work of Jesus Christ for their forgiveness. To be a member here, you need to be a believer. It's what we saw when we looked at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. It was those who accepted the message that were then added to the number. In Acts chapter 9, verse 26, there's a really interesting narrative where Paul, he has been in Damascus and has been saved and is actually preaching in the town, but because of persecution that comes, he has to run away. And so he flees, and he flees out of the town, and he heads back to Jerusalem. And when he gets there, we're told in Acts chapter 9, he tries to join the church in Jerusalem. And they don't want him. And they refuse him at first until Barnabas actually comes and tells him of the conversion that he had on the Damascus Road and tells him about the fruit that he saw in Damascus as Paul preached and shared the gospel. And only upon Barnabas's testimony are they convinced that Paul is truly saved and do they embrace him in. It was a saved membership that they sought. Also, when you look at the letters in the New Testament, they're always written to the saints in Corinth, to the saints in Philippi, written to churches, and it was assumed by Paul as he wrote that he was writing to the saints, to believers, to real Christians, that everybody in each of those local churches was meant to be a professing believer. At Emmanuel Baptist Church, we believe every member should be saved. When you want to become a member, we'll sit down and we'll talk, and the first question we'll always ask is, how were you saved? How did you become a Christian? It's not to say that every single member of Emmanuel Baptist Church is definitely saved. Only God can see the heart of man. But what I can say is that every member of Emmanuel Baptist Church is a professing believer. They say they believe the gospel, and to this point in their life, we have nothing that causes us to doubt the truth of that profession. The members here profess to be saved. If you want to join Emmanuel Baptist Church, you need to know and believe in the gospel. The second thing, if you want to be a member at Emmanuel Baptist Church, is you need to be baptized. We talked about baptism a few weeks ago, so I don't need to say very much about it. But in Acts chapter 2, again, verse 41, we see the pattern that was laid out. Those who accepted the message were baptized and then were added to the number. In between accepting the message and being added to the number is this act of baptism. It's really a public testimony to proclaim to all around what God has already done for you. It was a pattern we saw in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, at the end, that we are to make disciples. baptize, mark disciples, and then teach them all things, mature these disciples. That baptism is the next step in this road. Baptism is a visual testimony that you have believed the gospel. So it's what qualifies you to be a member. Again, we talked about this a few weeks ago, so we don't need to labor the point, but we mentioned a few weeks ago that most denominations in our world believe that you can't be a member unless you're baptized. The Roman Catholic Church says you have to be baptized to be a member. The Anglican Church says you have to be baptized to be a member. The Presbyterian Church says you have to be baptized to be a member. The Methodist Church says you have to be baptized in order to be a member. And we do believe in every New Testament church, the members of that church were always baptized. And so at Emmanuel Baptist Church, to be a member, you need to be saved and you need to be baptized. And the third thing, last thing, is you need to be teachable. We're not looking for individuals to come and to turn everything on its head in this church, to come and correct all wrongs. Rather, what we ask of our members is that they come and they submit to the constitution of this church. That they come into this church and they insist on not being factious, not causing division. There's a picture in Scripture of the men of Berea. We want to be like the men of Berea, who when they hear things taught from the pulpit, they go to examine the Scriptures to make sure that what is said is true. But they were not a divisive group of people. We want to be studying the Scriptures to make sure that everything we hear is true. And at the same time, we do not want to cause division in the body. If a member is here, we don't necessarily expect them to agree with every single thing that is said. But we expect that member in the church to be determined to grow here, to listen, to be teachable, and to avoid any cause of division that would hurt the unity of the flock in this place. We believe that a member here should be saved, should be baptized, and should be teachable. What I want to do just as we come to the end is I want to show you the promises that we make. When an individual becomes a member of this church, and we've done it the last few times, we stand in front and I speak to them, I speak to the church, and we make certain promises to one another. If maybe you haven't become a member and you want to become a member of the church, this would be the type of commitment that you're making. We make a covenant with each other, a special, solemn promise between you and the fellowship, the church here, and the church makes a promise back. This is what we say. This morning it is our joy and privilege to welcome, throw my name in here, Pastor Curry into church membership. Church membership is a covenantal relationship, a special promise, where in the presence of God, Christians commit and bind themselves together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We're uniting in a special way. Andrew, having already been interviewed by the office bearers and the membership on their recommendation, have voted on their acceptance. We ask the church to vote to bring you in so that there is a sense of them accepting and wanting you to be part of this group too. However, in order to remind us all of the seriousness and solemnity of this occasion, I want to put some questions to the new members and also to the church to remind us all of our mutual obligation and collective responsibilities. Since this church, this is the first promise, since this church is primarily an evangelical church, have you personally believed the Christian gospel, namely that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that on the third day God raised him from the dead, and have you been baptized following your profession of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ? We believe a Christian in this place should be saved. This is a way of us vocalizing in their coming into the church that they have genuinely been converted. And they say at that point, I do. Not wishing unnecessarily to bind your conscience, but in order to preserve the unity and harmony of the church, have you read and are you willing to submit to our constitution? Again, not that you would agree with every single thing, but that you are going to be teachable and submit to what is there. We want a unity in this church. We want to be able to be held together by a shared belief and that all of us would adopt a teachable attitude to it. Do you promise by God's grace and help to, first of all, Live in loyal love and fellowship with your fellow members. To treat them as your brothers and sisters in Christ. To bear their burdens and avoid any unkindly criticism. Often that's a big promise, isn't it? That's not for the ones that you like. That's for everybody across the board. That's a big promise that we ask people to make. Will you be faithful to give and attend the Lord's Day services and meetings for corporate prayer as circumstances permit? We understand there's different things that happen that affect our life. Times whenever we lose jobs and we don't have an income to be able to support. Times whenever we have various meetings or things that prevent us from being at services. But we want the heart of our membership to desire to be here, to desire to be together, and indeed to take seriously the calling to give in order to support the ministry here and to be able to give and minister across the world through this church. Will you endeavor with the help of the office bearers to discover and exercise the gifts God has given you for the edification and strengthening of this church? We believe in this church that every individual has a special gift given to them by God, not for them, but for the good of our church. And we are committed to, and want them to be committed to, us finding that way that they can serve the body here. Will you seek to live a life worthy of your high calling in Christ and be faithful in your personal walk with the Lord? We want that individual to realize that they are now, as they come into our corporate body, a representative not only of themselves anymore, not even just of Christ, they're also a representative of Emmanuel Baptist Church in this world. How they behave in work, how they behave in school, how they behave as they with their neighbors has something to say about Emmanuel Baptist Church. Do you recognize a leadership as those who have been called and appointed by God to the oversight of this church? And will you, like the men of Berea, display a teachable attitude to their ministry and counsel? Not to necessarily agree with everything, but to be willing to submit to and to listen to and to allow these men to speak into your life. Then what we do after these people have made their promises to the church is we ask the church to make promises to every new member that would join. If you're an attender of this church but not a member, hopefully you can see the difference. Do you welcome Andrew as your brother, as your brothers and sisters into the family of this church? And are you embracing them in? We do. Do you promise to love them, pray for them, encourage them, and accept them as equal partners in the body of Christ? And what a wonderful thing to be part of a group that loves, promises to love, because it's not always easy, promises to pray, promises to encourage, promises to accept them in a world that is so prone to draw lines as equal partners. And then we say, Andrew, on behalf of the membership, I welcome you into Emmanuel Baptist Church, praying that God will richly bless you, make you a blessing in this part of His kingdom in the days that lie ahead. And then we do the special right hand of fellowship, which, you know, only when you become a member do you realize how significant that is. That's what we promise. That's what we commit to. You to the church and the church to you. As we finish tonight, to be a member of a church, the first question you need to ask is, are you saved? Now, there's no point in thinking about membership until you've asked the question, do you even know God as your Savior? Have you asked Him to forgive you for your sins? Have you heard the stories about Jesus, but not just heard them, embraced them? And that He died for you. That He died that your sins would be forgiven. Have you been saved? And if you have, the second question to leave you with is, have you been baptized? If you are saved, the pattern in Scripture is immediately you would get baptized. You would tell the world. Why would you keep that good news to yourself? You would tell the world, He has transformed me. And if you are saved, in the New Testament, there's no such thing as a saved individual who wouldn't be baptized. Have you been baptized? And if you've been baptized, are you a member? Are you a member? There's no such thing in the Bible as a baptized individual who was not a member of a local church. Are you a member? Are you known? Are you accounted for? Are you cared for, prayed for, loved, and accepted by a particular group of people? Doesn't have to be Emmanuel Baptist Church, but if you're a Christian, You need to become a member somewhere if you're a Christian, because you need the help and support of a corporate group of people that are shouldering the load and caring for you and doing life alongside you. This world is hard. This world is evil. And to be a Christian, to be light in a world of darkness, is a very, very hard thing. We need one another. It can be hard to be with one another, but we need one another. And if you're a Christian, you need a local church that you are committed to and that is committed to you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the provision of local churches and the provision of membership that you have given to us. We do pray and ask that you would help any individuals who are in this room who are not saved to realize that their first calling is to be right with you. For any who are saved but haven't been baptized or haven't joined a church, we ask that you would help them to see that this is not an optional thing. This is something that they need. And indeed, they are denying themselves the very resource that you have given to them. And for those of us who are members of this church, Lord, we pray, even as we read over the promises that we make as individuals in this church, that you would renew in our own heart a desire to be right with each other, to accept one another, to love one another, to be committed to pray for one another, to grow and to cause one another to grow into greater Christ-likeness, that we would find in each other the very support that we need in this life. Lord, we recognize that it is hard and there is often wounds that need to be healed, even amongst our membership. But we pray and ask that you would give us all the grace to do so, to be determined to reach out and embrace one another because of the God who has embraced us and brought us together. Help us to do what is humanly impossible, what the world does not get, that the world would look on us and realize that we are your disciples because we do love one another. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.